Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 414 of your Overseas Connection podcast. We are a podcast for a more wise, mature gamer. And we are just a little bit off left of center or right of center, depending on which side of the political aisle you sit. I'm one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Joining me today, fine podcast group. I will start with a person not eating food at this very moment. That would be Kim Woods.
Were we supposed to bring food? I feel left out suddenly. All I brought was water. So
it's a potluck, Kim.
It is
a potluck, yes. Bring or BYOB, something like that.
Yeah, there it is that. Yeah, howdy, everybody. How the hell are you? Hope you're all good. I can't complain.
Good.
Yeah.
Kim, I feel like you're podcasting in a different room right now.
I am podcasting from the living room because everybody's gone. So I thought, hey, instead of being holed up in the hermit cave with the lovely brown paneling, I thought I'd give you something else to look at. So,
right.
Yeah.
Can you move your head to the left or the right slightly? Because I believe there is animal carcass antlers up on the wall.
Is
that my raccoon you bought your shop? Is that very
Yeah, those
shot,
are deer antlers. Oh, yes.
Yeah. What is hanging off the deer antlers? It looks very bright.
Yeah, that would be my nephew's turkey hat that he made out of construction paper for Thanksgiving. So
okay, you have found
a fitting. What a fitting end to such a majestic animal.
Yes, you're going to be mounted on a wall, and the rest of your life there will be a paper turkey hat hanging from your pristine antlers.
Hey, you know what? It could have been worse. He could have got hit by a car, and now he's laying dead in the ditch somewhere. So at least, you know.
True.
Did
someone in your family shoot that?
Yes, actually, they did. It's a
murder.
Sort of funny story. Yeah, thanks. My brothers and dad went out deer hunting. I don't go because I'm slow and I tire easily and the gun is heavy and I'm like, no, screw this. It's not worth it. And anyway, my brothers and my dad and my, they're more like brothers. My other relatives went out hunting and this deer popped up and, my brother saw it and he shot it, but he didn't quite kill it clean. And so they went back to track it. Well, about this time, the same deer ran out in front of my, a friend of ours. And he didn't know my brother had shot it, so then he shot it. So he finally killed it and put the end to it, and they both claim it. So, you know, I'm surprised they don't spend. Yeah, they both claim it, but the trophy antlers stay here. I'm kind of surprised, like 6 months in the year, they stay here, and then like 6 months of the year, I got to ship them to somewhere else. But no, they're still here.
Okay.
So, but whenever the story comes up, they both, you know, say, well, we shot it, you know.
Kim, I have to just say something real quickly. Late, a number of your stories have revolved around shooting animals.
Yes.
I live
in
a
funny
country.
Story about
we're rednecks. I don't know what else to tell you people. It's not like we go out, you know, all the time and kill things. It just seems like you seem to pick up on, oh, hey, what happened here? Well,
oops, I shot another animal.
You know, well, it was deer season, so it's not like we all loaded up with a bunch of guns and just thought, hey, you know what? We're bored on a Sunday. Let's go out and kill some things. It was a government sanctioned thing. It was allowed. You know, we're not a bunch of poachers. You know?
Okay. All right.
We ate it, if that helps, you know.
It does. It does.
Don't forget that there's no poacher who ever says, I'm a poacher.
That's
also
true. There is. But we don't. So there you go. Case, you know, conservation.
Oh, my wife is awesome. My wife just brought me a strawberry margarita.
Nice.
I feel loved, and I'm going to have to make up because I was a bit of a jerk earlier today. Snapped
no.
a little bit.
Yeah,
but I forgive you for that, Greg.
Yes, I'm explaining what a butthead I was earlier. Yes. Yeah.
Not forgiving
and
him.
And yet she made me a strawberry margarita. That is love.
I was an ass love. Hat. You know.
Or you yes, were right.
I was an ass hat. All right. Well, enough of me being an ass hat. Enough of you, Kim, murdering innocent animals. I'm kidding. You ate it. It was sustenance. You were starving. Your family was in need of food. Did you eat the raccoons? That's another question to ask.
No. We let the coyotes or possums or whatever eats those things take care of those. I did not eat the raccoon.
I was thinking that could have been like chicken wings. Maybe a little bigger.
Tastes just like chicken, you know.
Does anybody know what raccoon tastes like? I'm kind of curious now.
No. Not for a reason. I don't think any one of us do, no.
You know, I this is going to sound really way off left field and probably bad to certain people, but I did eat a vegetable soup one time that had beaver in it. And I'm talking about the animal, nothing else. Dear Lord, right. Don't get
so
that started.
So by definition, Kim, I'm going to make a quick correction. That is not a vegetable soup when it has animal inside of it.
You mean to tell me you all haven't had like a vegetable soup and it's had like roast or something in it? Because, I mean,
well,
like,
it's usually beef like and vegetable.
We call it a vegetable soup because it's not quite soup.
It's a vegetable soup because you put vegetables in it. I get where you're going with this. I need to help you. I'm trying to help. Some clarification for you down the road. If somebody says, hey, do you have vegetable soup? Don't throw beaver into it.
Especially if a vegetarian.
Oh, hey, she ate beaver. You know, anyway.
Yeah. All right.
What was it like?
It was fine. I mean, until somebody told me what was in it, I just thought it had, like, you know, hamburger or something in it. So.
Now, once you learned that there was beaver inside the soup, which I can't believe I'm saying this, by the way.
Right.
But once you learned the beaver was inside the vegetable soup, therefore ruining your vegetable soup and turning it into beaver soup, did you still eat it? Okay.
Yes, I still ate it. So right. I laughed now, every time I went, hey, can I have a bowl of beaver soup? But, you know.
Now, given that you have – how long ago was this? How long ago
it's been a while. It's been about a year or so ago.
Right, if you don't title this podcast Beaver Soup, there is something wrong with you.
I think it needs to be Eating the Beaver. But
just can you check the Twitch feed right now as well?
Yes, it seems fine. So, nice.
Yes, we need to have this documented for sure. All right, Kim. So we're just going to keep going down this path because I'm highly fascinated by this. You've eaten the beaver soup about a year ago.
Yeah.
Now, I would just like to throw this out there. You had beaver soup. It is an animal that's kind of similar in size and stature to that of a raccoon. Why not raccoon soup?
No. Because the assholes have been, you know, in my attic
for
the last,
assholes.
Like, 2 years. There's no way I'm eating those damn things. So, no.
All right.
Probably tastes like ceiling tiles. So, anyway.
True. All right. Moving off of you and the
thank God
stories. Yes. Fraser Moores, you are eating something that is not beaver, not vegetable soup, nothing of the kind. It looked quite tasty.
He's licking his
lips. It's a lemon meringue, just big slice of lemon meringue pie, which is it's beating me. I'm trying to get through the last bit. It's pretty heavy going, but it's good.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I didn't need it at all, but I couldn't say no.
How can you say no to lemon meringue pie?
Just like you couldn't say no to beaver vegetable soup.
I'm pretty sure I would have said no to that.
You wouldn't have said no to the vegetable soup. How would you have reacted to find out suddenly there was beaver in your vegetable soup?
Yeah. You know, see, okay, I think my drawing the line would have been if I actually saw the beaver before it went into the soup. I might have had
issues. So.
You did or didn't?
No, I didn't. I didn't even know, like I said, I didn't even know what was in it until they told me. So.
That's good, because that's like seeing like the person's, you know, face on the side of a milk carton and then realize that they're in your soup. I don't think I could have done that, but had I not known, it's kind of like when I first tried alligator for the first time. I didn't know what it was. Someone handed it to me. Tasted just like chicken. It was tasty. I was like, oh, it's pretty good. And then they're like, oh, it's alligator. I'm like, okay.
When the vegetable soup and somebody told you there was beaver in it, did you say, damn?
Oh, God. Welcome to the Beaver Podcast.
All right, back to the lemon meringue pie.
Fraser. Moving along, please.
Is that a beaver or is it a cat?
And she eats beaver and she has a never mind, I'm not going to make that joke. Fraser, you yes. have lemon meringue pie. Do you like coconut pie? Do you like banana cream pie?
My wife's laughing at the joke. She's 15 seconds behind because of the speed. She's laughing now. So.
So back to the.
I have one here, fan.
Fraser. Focus, come on. Focus on the pie question.
She married me out of pity, you know that, don't you?
Well, we figured that out. So I'm in the same boat.
out of these four pies, what's your favorite? A lemon meringue, obviously, is going to be up there, but
no, not banana necessarily. Cream? No, definitely
banana
not
banana cream.
No,
coconut cream.
Ooh,
or
no.
Oh, what was the other pie? A fourth pie. Damn.
Chocolate.
Chocolate silk pie.
Key lime.
Key lime. Yeah. Key lime.
Key lime would. Key lime and lemon. You're not giving me a great selection there. I'm a real fan of chocolate.
I gave you chocolate silk.
Did you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chocolate silk I would take then for sure.
Yeah. Do you take chocolate silk or chocolate pudding pie?
I wouldn't really be too fussy. Chocolate all the way, every day. Banana could go die in a fire. Lemon meringue I'm not a massive fan of, but we have it. I'll eat it. We had lava cake last night. That was good.
Okay. Yeah. Lava cake is good.
Ice cream. That was delicious.
Yeah.
But the big one up here probably, which I do like, is maple pecan.
I'm a pecan pie fan. I can get behind that. And the maple pecan pie, I'm assuming it's the same thing or maybe slightly different. But I can get behind that. I used to not be a fan, believe it or not. I used to be the anti-pecan guy. And then I got over my pecan phobia. Yeah. I was. Not necessarily a true story.
Of course, what? Pecan.
Yeah. That's horrible.
That's two bad jokes, isn't it? One more and you're out.
You know there's a third in there somewhere.
No, it's lurking. It's lurking right around the corner. Speaking of a third joke, Mark Hanix on the show this week.
Yeah, thanks. Yes.
Seconds. Yeah. There she's laughing.
You probably noticed I had a bit of a panic then when we first started, but my headphones went off just as you started talking and the music was going. I knocked my PC with my knee and it knocked the jacks, but anyway, I've got that sorted. Yes. Second week running back on.
Holy shit. Sorry. Very strong margarita. Wow.
All right. Trying to tell you something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a pretty good past couple of days. Me and Jenny's been down to Sheffield for a family do. Auntie and uncle's 50th wedding anniversary.
Go down to Sheffield?
Yeah.
How far up north are you?
It's 40 miles down is Sheffield.
Okay.
It's down. I saw my cousin. Saw my cousin for the first time in 24 years because she moved to Australia. So it was fantastic seeing her. Completely overwhelmed by seeing her again. And just had an amazing time. Stayed over in a hotel last night. A nice big breakfast this morning. Trip round Meadowhall Shopping Centre this afternoon for Jenny's birthday presents from last week and Mother's Day for tomorrow. Yeah, good day.
Nice. Yes, Mother's Day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
In true Mother's Day fashion, we are going to be hosting a game day. So we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
But back to your breakfast, Mark. I'm curious.
Yes.
What was breakfast? Because this UK breakfasts, you guys don't eat breakfast food to me.
We had proper English breakfast,
Cereal. Let me hear this.
Cereal to start, but I didn't have cereal. I could lob it out. Bowl
cereal,
of cereal
to start.
Yeah, if you want, or a fruit juice.
Okay.
And then a nice big plate of bacon, sausage, eggs, mushrooms, tomatoes, baked beans, black pudding if you want it, but I don't like that shit. Yeah, scrambled egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Jenny. Fried egg. Loads of HB brown sauce. Yeah, mushrooms. I think I said mushrooms. And loads of HB brown sauce and hash brown and a slice of toast.
Nice.
So in your description of breakfast just now.
Also known as a full English. Yeah. Right? It's a full English.
I did
right,
say
right,
that,
yeah. Full English. Yeah. The full Monty.
Yeah.
The front end and the back end of that breakfast, that was breakfast.
Yeah.
The middle is like you fucking toss in lunch for the hell of it. You're like, oh, let's throw some lunch stuff in. Who eats pork? Well, I know who does because I talk to you guys all the time. But pork beans at breakfast.
Pork beans at breakfast. Baked what are you talking beans. About? Baked beans.
Baked beans. Pork beans. Baked beans.
No, you can't. You're doing that. You're doing that Greg thing where you just go. It's the same thing.
It's not it a case of deducting five.
It's not the same thing.
Oh, okay, they're different beans.
They are beans in tomato sauce.
They're different beans. I will concede they're different beans but they are still beans.
They're baked beans in tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And they have to be Heinz because the Heinz ones are the quality beans. You don't get any of the other brands. They're all shoddy and crappy. And the American beans are the Heinz baked beans you get in North America. As an Englishman living in North America, stroke Canadian, they're all garbage. It has to be the English baked beans. They're just completely in a league of their own.
Yeah,
I would counter and say that is incorrect, that we actually have fantastic beans out here, but you don't get the Heinz beans. You get Bush beans. You get
Bush beans? That sounds a bit
– Yes, Bush. Bush beans. Well,
who's Bush away from? This hotel, it's a popular franchise across the UK called Premier Inn, and they did cater for American guests as well because they had pancakes available if you wanted pancakes. They had croissants for
proper breakfast food, my bad.
Continental,
you're not wrong.
Europeans. Yeah. So there were croissants for them guys, and
also cold meat selections. Breakfast food.
Well, yeah, well, a lot of Europeans like in Spain and France and Italy and that they have. Cold meats, salami and stuff, and hams, I don't think is a proper breakfast.
Not the track of breakfast.
And I agree with you there, but bacon, egg, beans, sausage, can't be it.
Was this brunch by chance, Mark? Was it later in the morning?
This was 9 o'clock this morning.
That was full on breakfast.
Yeah, and it sets you up for the day because breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Is that not right?
Right.
It's true.
it is true that it is an important meal of the day. It is, however, a fallacy that mushrooms, tomatoes, and beans belong in your breakfast.
You ever do. Right. I'm going to try and get
you
some baked beans.
You don't know what you're talking about, DeLacy.
I'm going to try and get some baked beans up on the Twitch feed.
Oh, this is why.
In America, they're called Kentucky baked beans.
This is why taken out to a pub at night. Get on the lagers, and then introduced to a full English breakfast in the morning. You will become an absolute convert, and you will give over. Get rid of that weight training, bodybuilding, healthy smoothies diet thing that you do. You and give over to your inner fat self, inner fat slob. Get on the lagers in the full English breakfast. You'll never know anything like it. It's the best thing in the world ever.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't find any. I think these are all American. I can see what your pork and beans is now. It's definitely not that.
We have Boston baked beans, which are some of the best beans ever.
I've seen some Kentucky baked beans. They look similar to them.
Yeah. All right. I digress. Let's get off the breakfast conversation. I guess we've been already talking kind of about different stories about this past week, so I might as well jump into my story from this past week. I was out in New York, flew out to New York for the week. It was a long trip. I was out there for basically what amounted to 4 or 5 days. I had set up a long, you know, a long time wish for myself. You know, there's this guy, Gary DeFelice, that lives out there.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. And Gary, has participated in Extra Life with us. He is a friend, for those of you who think I hate him, I only hate him part time. You know, I was really hoping that I was going to be able to meet up with Gary and finally meet him face to face. Cause God knows I've done Skype calls with him. I've talked to him over the internet plenty of times. But never actually met him face to face. And so Gary was like, all right, this is great. Your hotel is literally two blocks from one of my work offices. And he's like, so I'll arrange up to be in my work office that day. And, we can go and have, maybe some coffee in the morning, whatever, maybe dinner at night. That was actually the real plan, was we would get together for dinner. And so I asked him, I said, well, okay, well, what would work best for you? Maybe Monday, Tuesday. And he said, Tuesday will work best for me. And so I was like, all right, fine. Tuesday night, that'll do. Tuesday night it is. So I get this text on Monday afternoon. My boss is being a dick and he won't let me work out of the office.
Because he's having coffee. Like,
well, yeah, exactly. And I'm like, well, okay, well, just drive in.
No, can't do that.
So then I'm like, fine, okay, fine. You know what? I conceded. You know, other than the fact that I was going to give him shit for a while, but I said, Gary, fine. You know what? Let's meet up. How about Thursday? We can meet up for coffee in the morning. You know, would that work better? And he's like, that'll work. That'll work. We'll meet up for coffee. Sorry. And it was, Thursday. So Wednesday, I get this text message. Oh my God, I can't believe I just cracked my molar and I'm not going to be able to meet. I'm like, Gary, you know, if you're going to make up excuses and you don't want to see me, I get it. Just be brave enough and say, no, I don't want to come out and meet you. But
he didn't want to tell you that straight, did he?
Yeah, exactly. I've got a mean boss. I broke my tooth. Come on, man.
I know. He's too nice. Most of us would have just said, Greg, forget it, Greg. You're a wanker. We don't want to meet up with you.
Yeah. Well, despite Gary DeFelice, and yes, I know, I'm a wanker. I still had a very nice time out in New York. It was actually, the first 2 days were beautiful. Walked through Times Square, middle of the night. It was fantastic. Saw all the 50,000 versions of Mickey Mouse and Elmo and the dirty, Minnie Mouses running around. Cause I mean, side story here. Side story. Say it again, Mark.
Well, what does that mean? Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse running around Times Square.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of people that dress up as different kinds of animals or creatures, mascots, whatever, you know, I guess it's really mascots.
Yeah.
They'll dress up like the Statue of Liberty. They'll dress up like I saw three different Iron Men all walking together like they were like a clan. There was a bunch of Mickey Mouse impersonators, and I say impersonators just because they had the costumes. They're out in the middle of Times Square, and they're trying to get you to take pictures with them. And then, of course, they ask you for $25. But
greedy cosplayers.
God, totally. And they're not cosplayers. These are just they're out there. I mean, these costumes look like they have been run over three or four times with a car. They're dirty. I mean –
There's actually a documentary on Netflix on they'd follow a Superman or a couple of other of the guys who do it on the Walk of Fame, Hollywood Walk of Fame or Walk of Stars or whatever it is.
The Hollywood Walk of Fame has actually cracked down on these guys, and so they're not letting them be anywhere near the Hollywood Walk of Fame anymore. They're chasing them away. Right. Likewise, it would be nice in Times Square they did the same thing because let's face it, if I'm taking my kids out to Times Square and they see dirty Mickey Mouse and dirty Minnie running around, nothing like what they look on the cartoons, missing an eyeball at times, torn ears, clothes all disheveled. And then in the midst of all of it, one of them just rips their head off because they want some fresh air. The whole mystery, mystique behind these things. I mean, you might as well just put Santa Claus out there than have somebody take off all the clothes. I'm shocked that Disney doesn't crack down on this, to be honest.
So it's a nightly bad fancy dress party in New York every night in Times Square.
Every night.
Like Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
explains what Gary's like is, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. my first trip out to New York, I saw, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Singing Cowboy.
Yep.
But this is a guy that I don't think he's still out there anymore, but he used to stand in the middle of, the two streets on Broadway, or, you know, they go in the center divide, sorry, in Broadway. And he had a cowboy hat on, a guitar, a pair of cowboy boots, and a red, white, and blue diaper. And that was yep. his entire outfit. And he would just sit out there playing the guitar and singing his songs. And that was a spectacle, let me tell you.
Nice.
But yeah, so New York, all in all, it was
You're not
nice.
Selling me on New York here. I have been, but actually I don't.
Yeah. You know what? New York is a nice visit place. I would never – you could not pay me – well, you, okay, you could pay me enough money, but I really wouldn't want to live in New York.
You have a price to lazy.
I do. I can be bought. but I would not want to live in New York on principle. I mean, you can't drive your car, and if you do, you're insane.
Yeah. You were staying in a hotel, right?
I was in a hotel. I was at the Hilton. It was rather nice.
Nice.
So no complaints from that end of it. Food was all pretty good. Yeah.
I did a week in New York, and I stayed with a friend there, so that was a nice a little bit of a had someone to get me to other places, which helps.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have that somebody. But no. But
he stood you up.
Yeah, the person I was visiting didn't stand me up.
Responsible. But, that's what they call
it. It's an amazing city. But yeah, it's any big city. You know,
I would love to go there in Christmas time.
It's kind of like an attraction. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd love to go there. You're going to say something. I'd love to go there at Christmas time. I've heard it's quite magical at Christmas time in New York.
Right. I would imagine. Mm-hmm. I would imagine.
I can just imagine little Kevin running around looking for his mum all night long, sir. The wet bandits trying to catch him.
That's right.
My stay in New York was nice. I was deeply, deeply disappointed in Gary DeFelici and his lack of conviction and his lack of backbone to stick up to his boss and just say, you know what, dude. My friend, who I've never met in person, is coming out to New York. Let me work out of the home office. And instead, what does he do? He cowers down and he decides to break his tooth to get out of having to meet me. I see how it is, Gary. Anyway. All right.
It's deep,
it is sad. It's sad. I mean, a tear to the eye. I was going to – there was a point I was going to make, and I took – Gary just distracts me, this whole story. I'm still just that much – there's anger.
He ain't happy about it, is he?
No, he knows this was coming. I told him. I said, you know, it's all okay, but you know I will never, ever, ever forgive you for this. And, yeah, he knows. All right. I think we've covered everything.
I think you've covered Robin, everything.
Yeah, well, everything from a personal life standpoint.
You're right, you got it off your chest there.
So
another margarita.
Can we get on to the gaming podcast now?
I'm not going to finish. I want more margaritas. I want Greg sobbing into the microphone by the end.
I just wanted to meet him, man. So games we've been playing. This is a video game podcast.
Believe it or
we
not.
We do talk about video games.
It's not a beaver podcast.
We talk about all kinds of shenanigans. But video games is the primary thing that brings us all together.
We're morphing into some sort of like National Geographic hunting.
I know.
Cabela's big game podcast.
Oh.
It's true.
The pie.
Yeah.
Beaver and pie in New York City.
I mean, this could be a new theme. It could be a new theme for Kim. Every podcast, a different stuffed animal on the wall or near her. And obviously we'll have to create some kind of New York City background theme for me. So this way I can continue to rub it in that I never met Gary DeFelici.
I'll bring the prize.
Yay.
All right. Well, let's start with Fraser Moores. Fraser Moores, I need to hear more pocket card jockey. Just
do you?
Not really, but it sounds amusing.
I've got nothing new to bring to the table this week. I've been really bad. Actually, I'll tell you what I will talk about is – well, I'll talk about Pocket Card Jockey I've played more of, which is 3DS game.
For the record, have you ever heard of the term – if you take out card, have you ever heard the term Pocket Jockey? Do you know what that refers to?
I can guess. I don't know. Pocket Billiards is a term that Mark's probably familiar with.
Okay. Yes. That would be similar to the Pocket Jockey. Yes.
No.
Playing with yourself, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Hands in the pockets. Yeah. Nope. Hands out of the pockets. Let's go.
That's right. Yeah.
So, all right. Pocket card jockey. Tell me a story. Tell me a story, Fraser.
So, I can't remember. Maybe I did or didn't talk about Pocket Card Jockey last week. But it's a 3DS game, which was like it didn't cost very much. It was only like about $5. And it's a simple premise of you get a horse and the race starts and you suddenly are given a load of cards and you have to get rid of them solitaire style. And the quicker you get rid of them, the better start your horse gets. And then when it's running, you can make little changes to its position. And then you get another shower of cards. And the quicker you get rid of those cards, the more energy you build up. And you do repeat that one more time and then you're into the home straight and your horse places.
Okay.
But it's made by the people who make Pokemon. I think it was Game Freak, I think it was. And it's just great. I just love it. A lot of people were singing its praises. I woke up this morning and just had three races straight off. Pick it up as soon as I wake up. Pick it up. Have three races. A couple of them I'm just screaming at the DS for this horse because I needed it to win. And
can I ask what was your horse's name?
I've had this. I'm on my second horse now. My first horse was called Mr. Longbutt.
Mr. Longbutt. What happened to Mr. Longbutt that you don't
Mr. Have? Longbutt's actually a filly. No, still racing, but she's now okay. four-year-old. So
she went to the glue factory.
Easy killer. You're not allowed to come to the stables. And but I decided this morning to start another horse. Called Cutie Pie. That was named by my daughter. And it's just, if you have a 3DS, I implore you to go down this game, load this game. It's just, it costs practically nothing. And it's just so well designed that you can play it without really thinking about it. You just do the solitaire and your horse either wins. But the more you play it, the more you start to realize that everything you do has an effect on the race. And they throw in like little cards that might pop up within the solitaire thing and they give your horse little boosts. When your horse is running, you can move, you can predict its, or tell it which path you want it to, or position to move into. And that may or may not take it out of its comfort zone. There are comfort zones it rides in. And all of this has a bearing on how much your horse is going to have in terms of stamina, enthusiasm, excitement, and how many cracks of the whip you're going to get at the end as well. So this first playthrough, it's like, okay, well, I just play solitaire and my horse places. Then the more you play it, and this is what's happening, the more and more I'm playing it, the more I realize I have all these tiny things that affect the race, and I'm just getting to learn them now. And it's really, really good. Really good.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. It would be a very good mobile game if it was to come to that. But I'm not cheap. I don't want it to cheapen it. That it's a really well crafted game, and I will be playing that for a long time. Great to have as a pickup game. I can't wait to travel with it or something. So.
Okay,
cool. I've also been playing a ton of Hollow Knight, which I talked about last week, which was the 2D Metroidvania. That one now I'm up to about 14 or 15 hours into that.
Okay.
I had to put it down today. It kicked my butt. This is just, I was jumping around, exploring new areas. I had racked up a wad of cash, and then I met a guy, and he just kicked my butt, and I couldn't get – and when you die in this game, your soul stays in that position, and you have to get back to where you were to reclaim your soul, like in Dark Souls, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And to get all your souls back, and in this one to get all your money back. Anyway, I didn't. He kicked my ass again, and I lost everything. So I was practically throwing my controller across the room in rage. So I've had to put it down until I can get a good night's sleep and come back to it, and attempt to beat this guy. But it continues. I mean, like I say, 15 hours in. I've been told by a friend of mine he took 20 hours to finish it. Hopefully, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But it continues just to prove itself to be an extremely well-designed game, very subtle in the way it opens itself up to you and keeps pushing new experiences throughout the game. It's just amazing.
A lot of people on Twitch are raving about this game, and a lot reckon it will come to consoles more than likely. So
yeah, I found out this week it's coming to Switch.
Right.
So that's on the cards.
Are you getting a Switch? Is that the plan now?
No, and actually, last night I got my hands on a Switch for the first time.
Okay.
Some friends of mine had one, and they let me have a look at it. Nice piece of kit, very snazzy. Zelda looked amazing on it. The screen looks beautiful. And it just looks like a really cool piece of tech, for sure. But still, the barrier to entry, that cost right now to play Zelda, which is really what it is. It's a Zelda machine right now until there's more. Right now, for me, it's just a Zelda machine. It's way too expensive.
It wouldn't be too bad if it actually came with Zelda as part of a package, but you got another $60 on top of the $280, haven't you, to shell out just to play it. So it's a lot of, it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Especially when you can get an Xbox One S or a PS4 for like nearly half, well, about half of that now.
I think you could. I think you could bring that in by half now. I think the Xbox S is up here at $300. I wouldn't see any change out of a Switch in Zelda. I wouldn't see much change out of $600. So, yeah, it's a lot of money. Excuse me. And I did dip into my funds this week. Not that I'm very good at monitoring them. My YOLG funds, though.
I'm with you.
But and considering the progress I've made on YOLG, I don't have any guilt. I'm doing just fine. But I bought PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds this week.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah. Have you had a go of it yet, Ben?
Yeah, I bought it on Wednesday or Thursday. I installed it. Unfortunately, I have to say my PC didn't play nice. It's just not quite beefy enough. And then also, I have some confessions to make in that. I'm going to confess because
right.
I've talked about my inner pig a bit. I think if you listen to Game Punchers, I talked about it. But personal instant gratification. I'm trying to keep that in check. It's very, you know, but I just couldn't help it. The game was released and I went out and I bought it and I felt a little tinge of guilt on doing that. But I loaded it up and my PC was chugging a bit and it told me that my graphics card needed, wasn't running the optimal versions, and now I had to go get the driver sorted out. And of course, now I'm starting to think, God, bloody PCs. This is exactly what I don't want to be involved in. But I did that and I got it running and I cranked everything down to low. And I finally got into a game, and then I got to like the last 14 people, and not that I seen anyone, I just was hiding. And you know, the island's so big that you can quite easily not see anyone until the circle that you have to get to closes down. And then it kicked me out, lost connection to the host, and by that, and I was just like, I wasn't feeling the game anyway. Once I was suddenly playing it, I wasn't enjoying it as much as I have enjoyed watching it. And it sounds really strange to say, but I have enjoyed watching it on Twitch so much this week. Almost every night I've watched an hour or so.
Yeah.
And even today I dipped in and watched a game.
Yeah. I watch a lot of H1Z1, King of a Kill, which is same premise. And some of the Twitch guys who play that regular, some of them are hilarious. It's a very, very similar thing. So, I can imagine watching it's totally different to playing it.
Yeah, and I was playing it and I just could feel my stress levels rising because it's that sort of, oh my, am I going to survive? And then I also know that it's a PC shooter, third person. I'm not going to be that great at it. I'm probably going to get frustrated. So I took advantage of Steam refund and just said, you know what, I'm going to cut my losses. I'm going to refund it. I just don't think I'm going to enjoy it. It's not worth it. So I cut it loose. And then I go in the evening and I start watching Twitch streams of it again. And I've just got this huge grin on my face watching these guys playing it. So I think that's just the way forward. And what's funny is, I mentioned that on Twitter and Step J came back and said, yeah, I've been watching it on Twitch as well. He says, I watch a guy called Sacriel. And I said,
I've seen him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm watching Summit. And I said, Step J, the two of us must be watching the same matches because Summit and Sacriel team up and they play it together, right? Yeah. So we're, it. So,
well, that's it's not really be... that much of a confession.
Oh, no, I felt a little bit bad on buying it and then returning it. But you know what? I guess you can, right? So
The premise was you had your budget. You took money out, but the money came back, so the budget's intact.
Yeah. Well, sort of. I went out this morning and bought an SSD for my PC. So,
yeah.
But that was well worth doing. It's good. I mean, it's going to be great. It's an absolutely brilliant premise for a game. And the guy is going to make a mint out of it. Isn't it his name? I think his name is Chris. No, Justin. I can't remember. Known as Player Unknown. That's why it's called Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. But he designed that game mode as a mod before, right? So that game mode that Mark has watched in King of the Hill and H1Z1, and I think they used to be on Armor, right? That's how it started.
Yeah, Armor 3. Yeah, then that created the H1Z1, I think.
Yeah. And what they're basically saying is those mods were his idea, but he wasn't in control of them. This is him totally in control, and he's doing it the way it's supposed to be doing. I mean, it would just be brilliant if someone could just bring that to a console where we could just sit, fire it up, it works, everyone is at the same sort of level of graphical fidelity and control, and we can just go in and play that sort of game mode, because it's really exciting. And I totally tell you, just go watch them play a couple of games on Twitch. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay.
That's it. That's pretty much it.
Kim.
Yes.
Kim.
Yes.
Let's talk about what you've been playing.
Same shit, different week.
All right,
I've been playing what?
Yeah.
Witcher 3, you know, the game that shall not be mentioned. Fallout Shelter.
Well, there's nothing wrong with bringing up The Witcher 3.
It's the other one that, you know, I don't bring up, so. Yeah, that one. That's the one. Yeah.
So, Witcher 3, you said that you're going to get back into it. I saw this in our chat room. You're going to finish the DLC.
My thing is, and Mark could probably explain this as he's played it and all that. My thing is, I'm thinking maybe I should just shoot for it and just finish the main storyline and then come back and pick up all the other stuff.
You certainly can do that.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, still takes
I still have, yeah, exactly. Because surely the side quests aren't going to be that screwed up if I go ahead and just do the main plot and come back later. Because I've already screwed up the Gwent part of it, so fuck Gwent. So,
That is the mantra of most of the people on our podcast team. I happen to like Gwent. I really like
Gwent, but they had the deal where you're supposed to go to all the places and get all the different cards, and all that.
Right.
Well, I had the, yesterday? I did the, Vanglebud's party where you had to get their son out because he's a major studying alchemy or whatever. And as I got that quest done and went to walk and leave the party, the thing popped up and it said, well, you failed this one. And it's the one where you've got to go and collect all the rare cards because they're playing Gwent in the back.
Right.
Well, I'm like, I can't go back and do that. I'm not going back and doing that again just to get some cards. So, yeah, I pretty much just said, okay, well, fuck that part of it, you know. But my reasoning is, Gwent is dead. If I get any cards after that, then great, fine, whatever. But I know now I won't ever,
What you can do is you can always play the standalone version of Gwent now. So you can say fuck Gwent
this
in the main game.
See, that was my other thought was, they came out with the Gwent, so I can do that.
And the standalone version is better.
Yes.
The Gwent is better. It is a better version of the game.
There's more cards, more variety. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So my going in now, I'm thinking to myself, like I said, I should just go and do the main story and be done with it, and then go back and hit the question marks and all that as I go along to the DLC. That's my thinking.
Okay. I can't argue with that. I think that would be a great path.
Because everybody's like, you're not done with that yet? And I'm like, well, no, because I'm unlocking all this and that and the other, and I want to see what's there. And now the more I think about it, I'm like, well, I can still go back and do all the little question marks and whatnot and find out what all that is.
What we're hearing here, Kim, is a bit of a maturation of you and a bit of you breaking away from your OCD.
It could be a little bit, because like I said, I could still go back and do it. But for now, I'll get the main part of the quest done or main part of the game done, and then, go back later and do the other. So.
Alright.
So you're going to play more Witcher 3?
Well, yeah, probably. Until
You're going to finish it and then go play more.
Well, I've still got the Blood and Wine DLC and was Hearts of Stone, So, and from what I've heard, those are also massive.
And then the question
marks. Those are huge. Yeah, those are huge.
Yeah.
So I've still probably got another 100
hours. Overwhelming. There's always certain other games you could just...
Well, yes, I know. I'm still trying to finish King's Quest and get that done.
Right.
I have three more chapters for it to do. And, you know, I'm working at it. You know, I'm getting enough crap from y'all. I'm like, all right, fine.
I don't think we've...
Peer pressure.
Bastards, all of you. So, you know...
And God knows, worst case scenario, Kim, you can always actually open a game. You have something on your shelf.
Well, you know, but I don't really have many that I have to open. I have to go to the little games and apps and find one that I downloaded and haven't played yet, you know.
Although I will say this, I am envious of you because you have like four games, I think you said, that you have literally bought hard copy games.
Yes.
You've never opened them. So you still get that excitement moment of opening the game up and smelling the plastic fresh from the manufacturing plant, you know, the sniff test, if you will, which
sounds
horrible now that I said that out loud, but yes.
Oh, yeah. That feeling we all used to get when we went and bought a new game, because you can't do that now with the digital. So, I mean, yes, you still get the excitement because, hey, you bought a new game, but the whole peeling the plastic off and taking the sticker off and, you know, just looking at it and going, oh, what manual, you know, all that
stuff.
Is it just
freaking piss me off more than anything, speaking of stickers, is goddamn GameStop putting their used sticker on the front cover of the game box, and then it would tear. Every time you tried to take it off, it would fucking tear in half, and then you'd have, like, you try to pull another piece of it off, and you'd slowly just have to scratch it off a little bit. And, yeah.
It's aggravating. I understand.
You know what I liked? It's when you go to GameStop and you pick up a game for $4.99. And you get it back, and you can see that there's just a stack of stickers on it. Slowly peel each sticker off until you get to the bottom. Find out, what did I actually save here? Where did this start? And you get down, and it's like, ooh, it's $49.99. Oh, $59.99.
Jackpot.
Score.
Yes. All right, Kim, anything? Sorry, we've completely derailed your conversation once again. That's kind of what we do.
Yeah, well, I'm used to it by now. No, I mean, other than the Fallout shelter, I've got the Overseer's office unlocked. So now they make me go out and do quests and, you know, certain things. So that's been kind of fun. So
now are you playing this on the Xbox? Are you playing on a PC?
I'm playing on the Xbox. Well, the Xbox and the PC both, because it's actually, you know, resource hog. So even the laptop here can run it. So that's kind of nice.
I still say I find it better on, like, a laptop, a PC.
It is.
Absolutely.
I agree. I find it better. But I'm getting the Xbox version of it. I'm finally getting the little stuff with it. Moving the people around is getting a little easier. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Mark, before we dive into the game that I know you want to talk about,
it's the only game I've played as well, so might as well could be yours first, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, not the only game you played, because since last time I was on the podcast, you have played some Division with me.
Oh, yeah.
You jumped in just to help me out. You felt guilty, so you jumped on real quick, and we completed a couple missions for me. I'm trying to finish that one off. I think that's probably going to be the only game I actually finish this month. And I've only got 5 days, six days left to do that. So maybe I won't even finish one this month. I don't know. It's been slow going, but The Division, definitely still a great game. And this is, I just want to point out that Eric Piotrowski, known as Duke Scath on the Veteran Gamers podcast, he and I, we disagree on a lot of things in life, mostly political stuff. However, if there's one thing I can say that Eric and I totally agree on, it is that The Division is still a great game.
Yeah.
And, really, really enjoyed my time getting back into that. So if you've never played The Division and you are tempted, I think it is worth it. I think it's a fantastic game. If you can get it up on the cheap now, more power to you.
I think it was on sale recently. I think it was only £15.
Yeah.
Really, really cheap.
Yeah.
There's a lot of game there for that money.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. So I played some handheld portable games on my flight to and from New York, not on a Nintendo device, on a Galaxy tablet, and it was a game called Door Kickers and also Shadowrun. I forgot which Shadowrun it was, by the way, but
Somebody talked about door kickers before.
We did.
It was Greg, yeah. I quite like the look of this. But it's a lot of money on Steam. It's £15.
Well, yeah, it's only like $3.50 if you pick it up on tablet.
Yeah, so it might be better for the iPad. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great, you know, like I said, for a portable handheld, the game is perfect. And Shadowrun, you know, it's an isometric kind of RPG. It's the old Shadowrun universe. And basically what they've done is they've released out a bunch of different kind of small versions of the Shadowrun games. I think it's Harebrained Games, if I remember correctly, that put it out. You know, if you ever want a turn-based RPG, future set, kind of Blade Runner-like game, Shadowrun is fantastic. So very much enjoying that. So, and
there was a game a while ago on the 360 called Shadowrun, which was supposed to be cross-play with PC. Is that a different type of Shadowrun?
It's same universe. It's the same IP, if you will.
Yeah.
However, the Shadowrun, basically, it's think of it like a sci-fi crossed with fantasy.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, futuristic weapons and corporate espionage kind of stuff going on where you're constantly dealing with that. But then you have this mix of humans, orcs, elves, trolls. And I think there's half elves as well, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, so all these different mixed races have, you know, kind of magically come together. And so that you have the society set in kind of a Blade Runner like society. But then these different, you know, races and factions are all kind of fighting against one another constantly. And in this particular game, I'm playing kind of a bounty hunter type that's going forward and trying to solve a murder mystery of an associate of mine. But anyway, it's quite good, and for, you know, hey, downloadable title onto a tablet, it's provided a number of hours of entertainment, so I'm not complaining. Again, I think it was like $5 I picked it up for, so, and also,
3D devs.
Yeah, most importantly, no in-app purchases, and I can play it offline, and that's my biggest gripe about any of these stupid tablet games you for the most part see at the top end of all the free-to-play stuff. Anything that's free-to-play, do not pick it up for any kind of plane trip unless you buy into the Wi-Fi stuff, because you're not going to be able to play that game unless you're connected online.
Right.
Yeah. So there's that. All right, let's talk about it. The game we've all been wanting to talk about for hours now.
My Little Pony.
Yes, My Little Pony. My Little Pony Andromeda. No, Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah.
We both picked this up. We both had access to this originally through the EA Access. I know you talked a little bit, I believe, about this last week.
Yeah, I didn't really go into that much detail because I wasn't that far into it, but I've played a lot since last week.
Yes. Yes, you have. Yeah. I, on the other hand, have not. Although I've played a fair amount. I played most of my EA Access time, and then I've just literally today gotten back in and had some time with it. So, all right, my quick impressions, because I know you talked about this last week, but yes, this game has some issues. It's not a perfect game. Anybody that is looking for, you know, fantastic, you know, facial character animations and voice acting that is top-notch, Naughty Dog level, I think you're going to be disappointed. But that said, if you are looking for a good sci-fi story, I think there is one here for you. And I think that the combat in this game is actually probably the best combat they've ever had in Mass Effect. So I feel like that in and of itself puts this into kind of a unique situation of, you know, it may not be the best Mass Effect game overall, but it, I think, is going to rank up there. At the end of my playthrough, I think I'm going to look upon this as probably either top, if not maybe second best out of all the Mass Effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, Mass Effect 2 was probably the best in my eyes.
Yeah. Same here.
But yeah, so I haven't touched the multiplayer yet. No, I'm really curious. Yeah, we might have to get some in before the weekend's done, Mark.
Yeah. It actually they tie the multiplayer in with a single player, because do you know, like in Assassin's Creed, where you could send off your team of assassins to do some like side stuff. I mean, later on it'll say, "Oh, your team's come back and they've brought you so many rewards, or they've failed." This is a similar thing. You go to a main console on your ship.
It's the security office.
Yeah, and you
I was wondering what that was about.
And you send your strike team off on missions, but okay. there's certain ones called Apex missions, which you can send your team off, or you can actually play them yourself, which then takes you into a multiplayer match and then brings you back to the game. So it's quite clever and quite unique how they've done it. I've actually done that myself. I've actually always sent a team off. Out of three missions I've done, I've only had one success, but you still do get some XP, and your teams don't die, luckily. So they come back limping a bit, and you have to give them time to heal. But then you can send them off again on another mission, and when they do succeed, you get quite a good XP feedback and quite a lot of resources back, because there is crafting in this one. I don't think we had crafting in the previous Mass Effects, did we? They had.
I don't believe so.
You could buy weapons and that.
Right.
But in this, you gather resources on the planet's surface. You can mine with your vehicle. Similar to the probing with the mines on Mass Effect 2, the old probe away. They've still got a bit of that. But yeah, there's a lot more crafting in this. I'm loving the game.
So, you know, when I first started playing this game, and it still holds true for me, that I feel like this game, out of all of the Mass Effect games, feels the most like Star Trek to me.
You feel the humanity in it. I feel you feel the struggle.
A bit of the adventure, a bit of the you're trying to reach out into the unknown. I don't know what happened, but Fraser's camera just turned off. I just noticed that.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I know the picture he has now on his cover picture is.
All right, I'll have to put that back on the stream.
Look into that, Fraser.
Yeah.
Yes. but yeah, so very Star Trek like. Much better. And then, of course, the previous Mass Effect games I felt was much more Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
You had the evil, oppressive Empire cracking down on the Rebel Alliance and looking to defeat them. I don't know. They feel very different now for whatever reason.
They feel vulnerable because they're in a completely new galaxy. They've left the Milky Way. They're in the Andromeda Galaxy, completely out in the dark. They don't know much about it. All the research they've done has gone out the window because it's taken them over 600 years to get there. They've been in stasis for 600 years. Obviously, not a spoiler, it's a preset to the game. So they wake up after 600 years and everything's not as what they thought it was. So yeah, the opening mission I thought was really good. The atmosphere.
I very much enjoyed it. The atmosphere to it felt, again, very Star Trek-y. Walking into the unknown, you don't know what you're here to expect. And in true Star Trek fashion, Kirk, tries to make friends with indigenous types, screws that up.
Shags everything in his sight.
And obviously he's going to shag everything in front of him. So it's Star Trek, for sure. Yeah. One thing I didn't understand, and I still haven't gotten a clear idea of, is I know this takes place 600 years in the future, but my question is it 600 years in the future after the end of Mass Effect 3? Did these guys take off at the beginning of like Mass Effect 1 and they take off to try and settle it? So I'm trying to figure out where in the timeline, how much do they know about the war that happened? You know, do they know that we defeated the Geth before they left or after they left?
Yeah. But there was mention of the Citadel and the main character's father, who was an N7. There was talk about some missions he did, but I don't think it's really gone that deep into that side of it. So I don't honestly know.
I'm curious. Do we know? Because that to me paints a very different kind of picture. Because we know they launched out a series of ships. Sorry, Mark, you said what?
The beat, obviously, in 2 and 3, it was all about the Reapers, wasn't it? So,
right.
Let's look at the timeline.
Sorry, yes. There was the Geth, and then there was the Reapers.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. This is good radio. Okay. Well, anyway.
I thought you'd be filling in for me while I read it, Greg.
I know. No, apparently completely forgetting my duties as the host to keep talking.
It's set in the Mass Effect 2's Arrival DLC when the Reapers invaded Milky Way. That was the year after the mission launched. So it's 2185, they set off from the mission to Andromeda, and the year after is when the Reapers came. So.
Okay.
So they don't know the Reapers tried to obliterate Earth.
Gotcha. Mm. All right. For the record, Kim on mute right now, talking on her phone, and the timing of your granddaughter in the background with her little yeah. crying and screaming. Was kind of perfect. It reminded me of that Skittles or the Gummy Bears commercial. I don't know if you guys have seen it on TV where there's a bunch of executives sitting around a table and they're all talking about gummy bears and they're holding them. But instead of using their real voices, they have kid voiceovers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite clever. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Mass Effect, at the end of the day, I think it is a very good game. I think it is not going to be probably a game of the year contender at the end of the day, just because of some of its flaws that it couldn't get past. But if anybody is wondering if this is a good game, I would say I think it is a good game, especially if you have EA access. Try it. You have no other. You know, there's a 10 hour demo just sitting there waiting for you. So you might as well get up and try it. And of course, if you have EA Origin on PC, you can do the same thing.
Yeah, there's a change to the class system in the previous Mass Effects. You had to pick a class, which was Vanguard, Soldier, Biotic, and some other ones. Well, in this, they've changed it up. You can actually change class on the fly, and you can level up your character as to how you want to play it and change it as needed. So, which I think is quite a unique thing they've done to the previous franchise.
Yeah, I like that. Although they still lock those other classes.
Yeah, but you can't switch it. Yeah. I haven't really... I've just stuck with the Nova Bomb and just stuck with that, and I've not really changed it up.
Right.
And the concussion shot, so I've not really played about with that part of it. I've just leveled my character up with the health side of it and the damage. But yeah, I've got quite far into it now.
How are you finding the contextual cover stuff? Is it bothering you that you can't snap to cover?
No, but I find it works quite well. Once you figure out how it works, you've got to remember that you've got to have your weapon out for him to go in cover. If you don't have a weapon out, and if your weapon's holstered, stop it, Kim. If your weapon's holstered, it won't snap to cover. But if you've got your weapon out.
Right. This is also true, by the way, for the Mass Effect love scenes.
Yeah. If you've got your gun out, then he'll go into cover. So when you press aim, it'll pop up over the cover or to the side.
Right.
Or aim more.
And you can also switch the sides of which the gun is on.
Yeah,
by,
with your bumper.
The right
bumper. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a right click, yeah.
Mm. So...
What do you think of the combat then? The gunplay? I find it quite good. I found a sniper rifle I like, and I can one-shot enemies now, and it's really satisfying.
Yeah, I feel that this combat is probably the most polished combat they've given to the games. So, yeah. I mean, that's not saying a ton, because Mass Effect combat isn't the greatest gunplay. However, I find that this is probably the best that they've had.
Yeah.
I know
you try to get me to move on here, but I don't want to move on.
I know. It's okay. We can keep talking about it.
The variety
listeners
of the,
will love us for it.
The variety of the planets is amazing. Like the first planet you go to set your first base up, Eos.
Eos, yes.
That's more deserty type. I've got that to 100% viability now. But then you go to another planet, and it's beautiful. Rich with plant life, luminous plant life. You know, Avatar, the movie?
Right.
That's inspired it completely.
Okay.
And so it's like that.
I'm looking forward to that because yeah. this is an HDR title.
Yeah. I won't tell you which planet it is. I'll let you come across that yourself. But there's an ice planet. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I find there's a lot of, because on each of these planets in the system, there's this ancient alien technology, which they call the Remnants. And it very much reminds me of a cross between Destiny and Borderlands. It's weird how it gives me them impressions, but I get that vibe from them. Not gameplay-wise, but story-wise. So, yeah, a lot of Destiny elements in there with the alien tech.
Right, and speaking of the traversal, so I literally am just, this is how far I'm in the game right now. I literally just got to Eos, coming back to Eos for the first time. So I haven't actually played with the Mako yet.
Oh, yeah, so, the Nomad. Yeah, it's really good.
Right, sorry, the Nomad. So I don't know what that's like, but I'm assuming it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. There's two modes as well. There's normal drive, and then if you're going up a steep gradient, like a rocky hill, you can click your left bumper, and it goes into six-wheel mode, six-wheel drive. So it raises up a bit. And the tone of it changes and it slows down a gear and then it'll go up any sort of like terrain you want. It's really good.
Okay. Interesting. And I don't think, from what I understand, that there's any weapons on the vehicle.
No, I haven't unlocked any yet and I don't think there are any.
Okay. And then just traversal itself. You know, when they first announced that they were going to have a jump jet, I was like, of course they're going to have a jump jet. Everybody has to have a jump jet. However,
it works.
I really find this works well.
Yeah, it does.
I dig the jump jet. And it does the cool Halo thing, which I love in Halo 5, and I love it in Mass Effect, which is if you jump up in the air with the jump jet, you pull in the left trigger, and he'll hold for just a couple quick seconds up in the air as you're aiming.
So
you get that Halo, like, jump hold.
Yeah, and you can actually, as you level him up in one of the skill trees, you can actually increase the percentage of time you can hover for when you're aiming.
Okay.
So it's actually a skill tree perk as well to increase that time. So I once did a sniper headshot while doing that hover. Oh, it was so satisfying. I did a game clip of it as well. It's on my activity feed. So I'll have to get it on YouTube.
I don't have much more to cover here, Mark. We can talk about the full boobs.
I don't want to, it's hard to talk about without giving any spoilers. But right. I'll just say that I'm finding the story very engrossing. A lot of people, I don't know why it's getting so much hate on social media. A lot of people saying the story's meh and it's boring and the visuals are crap. I can't.
Well, visually speaking, I think that's all coming from the facial animation stuff. And and let's be fair, there are some glitches every once in a while.
But for the size of a game,
I haven't seen too many of them so far. Yeah. But you know, it's animation glitches. It's the funny walks. You know. And,
I've had a few things where things like rocks have been hovering above the ground, and a few alien enemies have like glitched a bit. But it's a massive game, and I know you shouldn't expect things like that, but it's BioWare. It's part and parcel.
Yeah. No, what's going on behind you in the background is exactly what the internet sounded like when first started seeing. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, God, no. Don't worry about it. I think that it really stemmed from people had this huge expectation that Mass Effect was not only going to be this huge engrossing story and RPG, but that it was also going to be this really polished visual extravaganza game. And it is to a degree. It still is very, very, very pretty. There are many, many different settings and stuff that look fantastic. And in some of the cutscenes, the character modeling and stuff is perfectly fine. And some of it, it's not. And some of it, you have that uncanny valley eyes. And for
there's a few scenes where they look a bit cross-eyed.
There's a couple that look a little bit cross-eyed. But what I find most of all is, like, when you're talking to people, they're like, it's just like wide open eyes. And I'm like, okay, maybe we just close the eyes down a little bit. Maybe that could be a patch.
Coffee.
But yeah, so, I mean, there is that stuff in there, but, again, if you're going to get hung up on that, then you probably got hung up on that on the first Mass Effect, you know, 1 through 3, because the facial animations in those games wasn't the best either. They had their share of hiccups too. So I think this is just kind of one of those situations where a lot of people had their expectations probably above where they were ever going to be. And once that the cat got out of the bag with the EA early access and just having 10 hours with the game, a lot of impressions were coming out quick. And of course people jumped on the bandwagon of, oh, this is, you know, it's crap. It's all bad. And the reality was it really wasn't that bad at all, and that it was actually still a fantastic game, but there was nobody that was going to be able to defend that to the masses of the vocal minority that get outraged.
Well, you know, you can't please everybody. No. So, I mean, there's always, no matter what game it is, there's always going to be somebody that's going to point out little nitpicky things that are wrong with it and just say, oh, it's terrible, when the rest of us are going, you know, it really wasn't that bad. So,
right.
Well, I know, there's a few members of our community who are playing this. I know Teflon's played a lot of it because he's high up on the
right.
No, on the game
of leaderboards. He's been loving it. Yeah.
Yeah. Gary DeFelice, he's been raving about it. So, yeah. There's a few of us who are enamored by the game.
And there's at least one or two haters in our community, Nicole. Kim, I'm leaving you out of this, you know, purposely because you're on the podcast right now, but, you know.
It's all right. I'll take my lumps. Yeah.
That's okay.
It's just not my thing. I'll stick with Dragon Age.
And that's okay. That is, that's a valid excuse to me. If you say, you know what, this is not my kind of game, that's the best kind of excuse to me for not playing something.
There are some weird and wonderful creatures in this you have to kill and what will attack you as well, though. Not just... So, but some of them do look dragon-y. There's one what looks like a cross between a T-Rex and a dragon. So
yeah. I'm curious, Fraser, you have been very quiet through all of this. What are your thoughts on Mass Effect? Did you play the first three?
Look, I'm not going to jump on the Hades. I played some of 2, and I played it for a good few hours, and I enjoyed it for a while, and then it just petered off, and I really... lost interest in it, and I have no interest in the series. So Mass Effect Andromeda's arrival created no interest in me whatsoever. And from what I gather, people who are fond of the series find I'm like all of us. We all have game series that we like. We all have game series that we're not interested in. I have no interest in Red Dead Redemption. So from some people's point of view, I know exactly. From some people's point of view, I'm absolutely insane. But then again, you know, there's other games that I like that other people have no interest in whatsoever.
True. But sounded to me, Canada, you should embrace the horseback. The Mountie in you should be like Red Dead.
Yeah, but well, maybe so. But I've never been. Anyway, we're not here to talk about why I don't like Red Dead. but it's interesting. I mean, Mass Effect is there's a lot of hype. It's dropped, you know. There's a lot of hype,
right?
So the visual glitches, and we've had some some games historically in the past couple of years that have stood out very much with visual glitches, and particularly as we're sort of really in a generation where this stuff is supposed to be cutting edge and we're sold on 4K and HDR and you're releasing a game with janky faces, people are going to pick up on that. So that's not really surprising, particularly, and you know, there's obviously an element of people love to shoot things down. It's the same with Zelda. I mean, Zelda, by all accounts, is unequivocally
garbage.
A phenomenal game. It's going to ignore you. It's a phenomenal game. But you listen if you listen to Game Punchers this week, I mean, Steve picks holes in it all over the place. He's not particularly that keen on it. Fish loves it, but Fish hasn't got a Zelda pedigree anyway. So he's a great advertisement for it because he's never really played Zelda games before, but he loves this one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for someone who's fresh into it, that's great. And it may be a case that I need to play this Mass Effect, you know. What's interesting, I was just looking on Twitter, actually, and oh, God, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. It's his face from Boss.
You're not going to mention Chris Williams again, are you?
No.
Verbal Rob?
No, it's Welshie, who's never there.
Mattress?
Mark, of course.
Mark?
Oh, Elusive Mark.
Yeah,
Mark's been... Mark's not been singing its praises at all, and he's tweeted here half an hour ago, called Crap Effect Dumbnometer.
Wow.
Maybe slowly winning me round with its janky charms. So it's a case of, you know, let's get past the initial shock to the system, and it's maybe it's, you know, a game with this much presence and this much hype.
Right.
You have to get past it a little bit, don't you? I mean, there's obviously, you know, it's not surprising maybe that you have to dive in a little bit and find the game.
You know, I will say this. I will not hold it against anybody who says that they played a couple hours of it or even an hour of it, to be perfectly honest, and they weren't drawn in and therefore they decided to pass. Because to me, you know, I don't think a game actually should take more than an hour to draw you in. If you have to play something more than an hour to really start to like it, that's a problem.
It's a problem, and it's a danger.
Right. And that's probably a better way to put it.
But there's no shortage of games that I've played for an hour or two and not been completely convinced, and then something's changed later.
Right.
I forgot to mention that I played, I think last week I told you I played Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
I played a couple of hours and I didn't really think that much of it.
Really?
It was okay. I said that it had quality. It looked like I could see it had pedigree. I could see that it was pretty cool, but I wasn't sold on it. And then on Monday, I was actually off work on Monday. I played it for pretty much the whole day. You know, I sunk 8 or 9 hours in, and I loved, I think this player say I played seven, 8 or 9 hours. I loved 8 of those hours.
Okay. Right.
And then by the end of it, I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. And I didn't. And I'm not saying it's bad. I got some enjoyment out of it or whatever, but I don't know. It's just the way, you know.
Yeah. That'll be one I definitely get on a sale. I'll definitely pick this up when it's on sale. It looks really good.
But my point is.
Fish likes it, don't
he? I don't know what my point is. But I guess my point is that, you know, it's. Games are subjective. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's as fair a point as you could possibly make at this point. Yeah. To say point like way too many times.
Opinions are like assholes, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yes. And on this podcast, we happen to have four.
Yeah, right.
All right. Are we good to move on, Mark?
Yes.
Do you feel like you've got enough out?
Yes.
Your erection is over.
Yes. Yeah. Mass erect. Move on.
God, I didn't need to hear that. Two quick things that I forgot to mention in the non-video gaming component. One, I saw the movie The Arrival, and this was triggered in my head.
I like that.
When Fraser said Mass Effect's Arrival.
Yeah.
So see how that worked. The Arrival, the movie. Quite good.
Yeah, I enjoyed
really,
that.
Really good. And so I would highly recommend it to anybody. It's a good movie with a nice little twist to it.
Yeah. Messes with your head a bit at the end, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out where it was going, and then I was like,
you had
one of those moments.
Yeah.
And then another movie that I honestly thought I was going to hate. It's a movie called Get Out.
All right. We'll see.
It's characterized.
A horror movie?
It's listed as a horror comedy.
Oh.
Which immediately made me think of that stupid movie, what is it called? It's a spoof on like the slasher movies where it's a spoof on the movie Scream.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Scary movie. Scary movie. And so I immediately thought that's what this is going to be. Not at all. And the classification of horror comedy for the movie Get Out is, I think, completely inaccurate. This movie is actually what I would characterize as a drama more than anything. It has some bits of comedy to it. It has a couple bits of what you would call quote-unquote horror. But it is a really, really good movie with some really good twists to it. And it has a bit of social commentary in there as well. It's not heavy-handed about it, which I liked. It delivers it in a very smart way, and I cannot tell you how pleasantly surprised I was by that movie.
Nice.
Really, really good. All right. I think we have talked everything to death now at this point, so we should talk some news. Mark, do we have a news jingle?
We certainly do.
here is the fucking news.
And at least you can hear it this week as well.
I think that's one of my favorite news jingles. This is great.
First news item, sad, sad news, by the way. I'm very sorry to report I'm out of margarita.
Damn.
Same day!
I don't know how we're going to... all right. First up in the news items, Call of Duty World War II has been leaked. Promotional images were revealed. I put them up in the show notes for everybody to see. It doesn't help anybody at home that's watching this or listening to this on audio. But it clearly is a Call of Duty poster with a World War II. Looks like it is the Normandy Beach, you know, Saving Private Ryan kind of moment that they're depicting. And then they have what looks to be a box tin. That's a special edition Call of Duty World War II box tin. I'm excited to see them go back to World War II. I think that would be an interesting twist. We'll see. Hmm. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Anybody else excited or?
No.
No, not really. No, because
sort of a little bit.
We've done World War II to death. I'm actually shocked they haven't copied Battlefield and gone World War One. I thought they might have jumped on.
They didn't, though.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't.
I want the differences,
but I thought they might have jumped on the bandwagon. But I don't know. It's just like regurgitating games we've played years ago, isn't it? If I start doing World War II again, I know there was a lot of
regurgitating those wars again. Yeah. Damn it!
You know what I mean? Because it's going to be the same weapon. I know there's a lot of different battles went on in World War II. I know it was a horrible time when the different continents had different battles going on. So there's a lot of variety they can use, but I don't know.
What conflict they have not covered that I would actually like to see them cover. I think it would actually be a pretty cool setting. Is the Korean War, which of course was not. It was a police action, but I think that could make for an interesting game because it had some interesting technology. Obviously, we were far enough along that we had some modernization happening.
Yeah,
but it was still kind of entrenched in kind of you know, World War II based, you know, for the most part, weapons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, make that happen. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
All right. So that didn't interest anybody. Fine, whatever. We'll move on. I see how it is. GameStop. Speaking of digital purchases, all the digital games we are buying, we are crushing and killing GameStop. If anybody, we've always talked about, we wanted GameStop to die a slow, agonizing death. Well, here's how we've been doing it. We've been buying digital games. GameStop reports that it's shutting down 150 stores. The retailer announced to the Wall Street Journal that it is shutting down 2 to 3% of 7,500 shops across the globe after sales and earnings plummeted last year. According to the company, it was affected by the shift to digital downloads. And they basically said more and more people are now preferring to installing their games straight from the console's online stores. It resulted in a 14% drop in sales in 2016. And apparently it was especially bad during the holiday season when sales dropped 19%. That's a pretty big drop year over year.
Those percentages are pretty big. The fact that they're closing, how many stores is it? 150?
150.
That's not much. That's a drop in the ocean. They have 7,000 stores.
Sure.
I don't live in a very – I live in a big town. We're 100,000 people in the town I live in. So it's pretty big.
Right. That's a big town. It is.
But we have two EB Games or GameStops or whatever they're called these days. We don't need two.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to go out, I'm either, you know, if I need to go to Home Depot, I'm going to the Home Depot. If I'm going to the GameStop, I'm going to the GameStop. I don't need a local GameStop. I don't need two in town. It's pointless.
You don't need two of the same. You know, I mean, I'm assuming EB Games and GameStop actually are two different stores, or are they one of the same?
They're both the same. They're both the same.
Because I would say, you know, having competition is okay. Because like in my town.
Oh, yeah, it's not. It's the same staff going between the two of them and stuff like that. It's the exact same. So it's pointless.
All right. Yeah. We're about 50,000 here in my town, and we have a GameStop, but we have a Lowe's and a Home Depot.
Right.
So, go figure. Yeah.
All right. Well, I can tell you I probably will spend more at Home Depot and Lowe's than I will at GameStop this year. So
I am right there with you.
100%. Same here.
You just had an open up or two.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, April, Xbox Live Games with Gold was announced. So if anybody has been on the fence and wanting to check out the game Rise, Son of Rome, you are in luck.
I should have held out. I should have held out.
It's coming to Games with Gold in April, along with The Walking Dead Season 2, Darksiders, the backwards compatible game, and Assassin's Creed Revelations also will be coming to Xbox One, backward compatibility, Games with Gold, blah, blah, blah.
Darksiders is a great game. Anybody who's not played Darksiders and wants a Zelda-type experience, something a little bit different.
I played Darksiders, and I got fed up of it. I found it too long, and some of the puzzles were really tough, where you have to direct the light beam in that tower thing. And
Do not play Darksiders 2, then. That game is long.
I didn't like Darksiders 2 as much as Darksiders 1.
No,
I didn't find the main character, because you played as Death in Darksiders 2, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, you played as War.
And I liked War better. Yeah. I liked War in the first one. There you go. And that has been confirmed, by the way. Major Nelson, I guess, confirmed this, so that is official. So no speculation there.
I suppose I might better finish it now. Yeah, I've played
it. I have not.
I have.
Good?
It's all right. It's not the best Assassin's Creed game. I enjoyed it but I'm sort of like biased towards the franchise. I love the franchise.
My son will probably be over it.
We introduced the grapple hook in that game, which is quite a neat feature, and you can zip line. And it's also, if you play the first game with Altair, the Thai, that character in, Ezio's an old man in this, and it's sort of like his last journey. I quite enjoyed it. It's not, like I say, Brotherhood, Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood to me are still the best Assassin's Creed games of the older ones, and the
Black Flag.
But I found the London one. The London one's my favourite. Not Unity. What was
Bias.
It called?
Bias.
Oh, what was not Unity? What came after Unity? Syndicate. Yeah, that's my favourite.
Right.
Yeah, that was my favourite one. But yeah, Black Flag was good. It's worth a play for free. Revelations.
That's the best price ever.
Yeah, and it's got a bit of,
because you paid for your subscription.
Yeah, and it's got a bit of a tower defense element to it, which you might like, Greg.
Absolutely.
A bit of strategy.
Yeah. A bit of strategy. Never can hurt. More news. Here I thought there was no news this past week, and in my hours and hours of research that I did just basically 10 minutes before the show, Destiny 2 is pretty much confirmed for September, and they're saying through a retailer leak that happened from an Italian retailer, God bless those Italians, that Destiny 2 will arrive September Friday the 8th in Europe, and then it looks like it probably would be September the 5th, the Tuesday prior to in the U.S. However, I'll say this, you never know, because I've seen a lot of releases now happening day and date on Fridays even, so maybe they go for that.
Yeah. Do you think that would be a big proper announcement at E3 for that, do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, very much so. That'll be on stage with
official announcement. Yeah.
Expecting that to be on stage with Sony.
I was going to say, Sony had it last time, didn't they? Yeah.
Right. And I'm pretty sure they still have it. So, I don't know that I'm excited for Destiny 2, but,
I played a lot of Destiny 1. I loved it. But I've just not got that desire for Destiny 2. And I don't even go back to playing. I know Gary DeFelice, he still goes back to Destiny 1. I know Womble does. Womble loves it. But I just haven't got that urge anymore. I don't know why.
Yeah, I want to see, obviously, once I see something from Destiny 2, maybe I will be on board.
Oh, yeah, it's probably going to be the best drink since sliced bread. And when I see it, I'm going to start drooling and want it. But, yeah, until...
New and shiny.
Gaming
budget out the window.
Yeah, Stu Fowler syndrome, but, yeah. Until I
see
it.
You know what else might be out in September?
What?
I saw something, Red Dead Redemption 2 might be out in September.
Yeah,
right now, I think it's just strictly a rumor.
Yeah.
But that's what I heard.
Yeah, cause...
yeah, and you know if that happens, you know what happens to Destiny 2.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
Be Clash of the Titans.
Not even a contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I could convince Mark, my half-brother.
Oh, yeah, Red Dead will win hands down, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, well, there's some games to come news, and the last little bit of news, and this has to do with the Nintendo Joy-Con issues on the Switch. So if anybody was wondering if these were real issues or not, one, yes, they absolutely are. In fact, I was talking with Steve Conger, and famously from the Gamesman, and he was telling me about he was having the desync issues with his Joy-Con for his Switch. He said it didn't happen all the time. He said, but when it would happen, it would drive him effing nuts. And
I know how he feels. I've had that with my launch Xbox One controller and console. I
remember.
That a lot. Yeah. Very frustrating. Well, especially play Forza and you're driving along at 150 miles an hour and all of a sudden it disconnects.
Yeah. So, after a while of Nintendo kind of not addressing this, they have finally kind of come forward and addressed it. So this is a quote from Nintendo. There is no design issue with Joy-Con controllers and no widespread proactive repair or replacement effort underway. But there kind of is. A manufacturing variation has resulted in a wireless interference with a small number of left Joy-Cons. Moving forward, this will not be an issue as the manufacturing variation has been addressed and corrected at the factory level. And then they said, we have determined a simple fix can be made to any affected Joy-Con to improve connectivity. So the fix, by the way, is, and this was observed from, I believe it was Kotaku that did this. They had sent in for the repair. They got their Joy-Con back and basically said the only change that they could see was made with the addition of a bit of conductive foam, possibly to shield the controller from interference. You know, it's funny because on one hand, they're like, oh, there's no issue. But on the other hand, it's like, well, yeah, there was actually a manufacturing issue. And so we've dealt with that. Moving forward, there won't be an issue. And by the way, if you are having this issue, you can contact Nintendo. And they are being pretty darn good about getting those repairs done. So you can send your Joy-Con in, have it repaired. Hopefully you shelled out the extra $80, I think it is, for the GamePad Pro, so you can actually keep playing your games while your Joy-Con is off getting repaired. But yeah, so help is on the way or has arrived. Maybe that's the better way to put it.
Yeah. Well, so when it comes back, it's covered in like tin foil. What you wrap your turkey in?
Yeah, that's exactly the fix. Yes, yeah. It's covered in tinfoil.
Yeah.
In fact, if those of you at home listening to this, don't worry about sending your controllers in. Just go buy some aluminum foil and wrap your controller in aluminum foil. It's guaranteed to work. 100%. And if it doesn't, contact Nintendo, please. Yeah. All right. Mark.
Yes. Shit.
We are.
I know what you're going to say now.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm going to say. Yeah. We're gonna do some community stuff. We're gonna start talking about feedback. Most importantly, SpeakPipe. We did get a SpeakPipe sent in to us.
No,
from one of our favorite individuals.
I can't see one. I'm on the SpeakPipe website in our inbox, and I can't see one. We had two last week from Jason Golher.
Maybe you already pulled them off.
Yeah, all right, we played two last week from Jason. And they would need
to know
what
it was.
Yeah.
All right. I have lied to everybody. I openly admit it. I am
a liar.
You got
me rude, then. I did check.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was asking people about Zelda last week, wasn't it? Because I think, similar with Mass Effect, some people are hating on Zelda and some people are loving it. And he personally loves it and said to people that they should just, like, let their... preemptive, the sort of like pre, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Oh my God, my brain is...
Preconceived notions?
Yes, preconceived. The preconceived expectations of that game and just like enjoy it for what it is. Because he says it's a fantastic game. And I must admit, that is the first Zelda game I've seen which I actually do want to play. But I can't see myself shelling out that much money to play it. So maybe one day.
The only the only legitimate knock I can see against Zelda, out of all the stuff that I've heard, quite honestly, it's the weapon breaking.
Yeah, I heard Steve on Game Punch's raving about the durability of the weapons. He wasn't too happy.
Well, they last like two fights.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's kind of
well, they don't even last that. They break halfway through a fight, apparently. Well, they did for Steve.
Well, yeah.
So.
Yeah. But anyway, so enough of that. All right. Since we don't have any speak pipes, I am forced to give you guys trivia.
Oh, no.
So today we have some trivia sent in from Jason Johnson. And for those of you playing at home, not all of these questions are difficult. We actually try to give one easier question, one tougher question. So you know, don't get your panties all in a bunch because you think they're all too easy. They're not exactly the easiest questions in the world.
They're easy if you know the answer.
Unless you know the answer, then they're very easy, yes. All right. I don't actually have final counts right now because I have been slacking in my duties. I need to catch up on where we are in the podcast trivia standings. Kim, I'm imagining still somewhere hovering around the top.
I got 15 points last week.
Mark is clearly at the bottom. And Fraser.
We all got 1 point last week, though, didn't we?
Just by virtue of being a host now, you are relegated to the bottom. It's what happens.
It's a host slot.
Yeah.
It is. It's a host life, right? All right, here we go. Two questions, multiple choice for each of them. I will give you guys all of the choices as well as some time to contemplate your answer, and then I will ask you in our notes to give me the response that you believe is the correct answer. And if you're playing at home, you can do this in your own head as well. Just create a scoreboard up there virtually, write your answers down. You're good to go. Here we go. Question number one. What year was Earthbound originally released in the U.S.? What year was Earthbound originally released in the U.S.? Fraser Moore is already clearly loving this question.
Excuse me.
Okay, I can get to within a couple of years. I don't know the exact.
What's Earthbound?
Earthbound is a video game.
Is it?
It's a video game.
That's all you're getting.
Yes. Here we go.
System?
Your choices are
what system
A,
was it on?
Help me. 1990. B, 1995. C, 1998. Or in true Jason Johnson trivia fashion, D, 1993. A, 1990. B, 1995. C, 1998, or D, 1993, through the power of not using Google, which year was Earthbound originally released in the U.S.? I ask for your answers now.
I'll have to go in the middle because I have no clue. I've never heard of a game.
Yeah, all right. Same way.
So we have three similar answers.
All D for dumps.
All three of you have said it is D, 1993. And congratulations to Jason Johnson for fooling all three of you. It is, in fact,
is
B, 1995. Yes, Fraser Morris, you should have gone with your gut.
I'll be darned.
I said I'd get within a couple of years.
You did. You did get within a couple of years. All right. This is not going to get any easier, kids.
Oh,
it's just not.
Well.
All right. Question number two. Anybody want to take a guess at what this question is about?
Nintendo?
Mass Effect.
Two out of three correct on this one.
Oh, all right.
I think I have a point.
all right. Yeah, that should be worth a point, shouldn't it? It's not. Here we go. As you know, Mass Effect Andromeda is one of the greatest games ever made.
He's not lying. He's not lying. He's not biased.
No, he claims I may be biased.
No, I don't.
How many light years away is the Andromeda galaxy?
Fuck, they mention it as well.
How many light years away is the Andromeda galaxy?
Teflon, you
bastard. Here we go. Your choices are A, 2.5. Jesus Christ, Jason. I now hate Jason Johnson for this.
I'm going C.
Can I have a pity, please,
Bob? All right, here we go. Choice A, 2.537 million. Light years away. B, 2.723 million light years away. C, 1.334 million light years away. Or D, 23.16 million light years away. I will not repeat those. I would like your answers now, please. All right. We have two that have said D, 23.6, and one who has said C, 1.334 million light years away. And I am saddened and delighted to say it was A, 2.537 million light years away. And the protests on this trivia are being filed right now from Kim, Fraser, and Mark. Thank you, Jason Johnson.
Yeah. If it had asked how many years,
I know that one.
But yeah, well, the distance, yeah. I think it was 684 years they were in stasis.
Oh, man.
What a question. That was
I would have known that one too because you mentioned it. So, you know. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take a little bit of a siesta from talking right now. Kim, yes. If you could maybe talk up some new releases.
Alrighty, we have our new releases for March 25th through March 31st. And they are Has-Been Heroes for the PS4, Xbox One. Nice. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix for the PS4 on the 28th. Also, Kingdom Hearts HD 2.5 Remix for the PS4 on the 28th. We have Kingdom Hearts, no, I'm just kidding. MLB The Show 17 for the PS4 on the 28th. Narcosis for the Rift, the Xbox One, and the PC on the 28th. And Thimbleweed Park for the Xbox One, PC, and that's it on the 30th. I thought there was more to it there. And that is your new releases for the 25th and the 31st.
All right. I would just like to point out that Has-Been Heroes getting the drink finished was the perfect sound effect. did you guys cover freebies last week, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just for those with Xbox Ones, grab Evolve before the end of the month. Before the
and then April. Fire it up and then remember why you never bought Evolve.
Right.
Are we doing a play date on that, Fraser, then? Because you were talking about play.
I think we need to, Fraser. I think we need to.
I've not even fired it up yet.
This week it's Rainbow Six
right.
Siege.
This week's
Siege.
The proper game.
Oh, right. I'll have to try and make that. Sundays are bad for me.
What time is that, Fraser? I know it's we're going to cover that later on, but just in case.
12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 5 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, and 9 a.m. Greg, you got to wake up, have whatever. I don't even know what kind of breakfast you have.
Have
now.
A full English breakfast.
Seven snakes.
Pork and beans.
Yeah. Pork and beans and your bush beans.
that
you don't
is breakfast.
Know. Really? Do you drink that nonsense?
No. I don't drink it at breakfast. I do drink it at when I want to pick me up.
Really?
Yeah. Haven't you seen me double fisting? I had a margarita and I've had a monster.
Just give me an image. I've never drunk one of those energy drinks. I have no idea what
they're
like.
Well, then get off my back, asshole.
Well, I thought they were
and the gloves are coming off.
I thought teenagers drank that sort of stuff.
I'm young at heart.
You are. 9 a.m. Greg time.
9 a.m. Greg time. I would like to rename Pacific time to Greg time. That would be perfect.
Are you going
to
make that tomorrow, Greg?
I'm going to try, yeah.
Great.
Assuming I do a good job of making up with my wife, I will make it.
I have really enjoyed I the Halo games that we've played, and we played last Sunday. We played Halo 5.
Speaking of that, go ahead. Sorry. I will
let
you
finish.
It was good fun.
It was a great – again, it was a top laugh.
Yeah.
Nicole joined in, and we had some great games. I've really enjoyed the Halo, but Rainbow Six Siege is a lot of fun.
It is. And speaking of Halo 5, one other thing I forgot to mention. Like this whole podcast, I think I'm just going to continue to be like, oh, yeah, and another thing. Yesterday, I was catching up on work and just sitting here, and so I fired up the Twitch stream of the Halo 5 World Championships. I'm not one to watch a lot of video games on Twitch streaming, that kind of thing. I don't get into that stuff, especially competitions usually. However, watching the Halo Championships, I was thoroughly entertained. I have to say the presentation was pretty darn good, and I watched a number of matches unfold as I was just working away on my laptop, that kind of thing. And if you're at all into that kind of stuff, going on right now, it's worth the watch.
I'm telling you, man, I don't know what's happened, but Twitch is my TV channel of choice now. It's really odd.
I like watching it. Really I'll go to bed and I'll watch it on my phone or my iPad, and I'll watch it for about half an hour or something. Yeah, it's quite good. I've got right into it now. There's certain people I follow and I like watching.
Now, if I'm going to watch anything, I just soon play it. So, you know.
Fair enough. All right. Where are we? Where are we in this podcast? We're lost at sea.
Kim, of all people, Kim, I thought you would know that not playing video games is the new way of playing video games.
I know, right?
like Fraser mentioned before, was it on last week or was it on Game Punch when you said that until you've watched someone do a speed run of a game you love, it just opens up a whole new world to that game. It's amazing. There's one guy I watch, Elijah's, I think his name is, and he does speedruns of all the Souls games and Bloodborne. And the way he does Bloodborne is unbelievable. Really.
I mean, somebody speed one Witcher 3. That's all I'm saying.
I went to. It's weird. I mean, I went to bed last night and I. Somebody, one of my Outer Heaven Network, Mark subscribes to. They were doing Metal Gear Solid 4 last night, and I saw the tweet announcing it was about 3 hours before I switched on. I was like, oh, they tweeted this 3 hours ago. I said that should put them around about the octopus fight, laughing octopus fight. Yeah. I'd really like to see that. I turned on and it was probably a half hour of cutscenes before he got to the fight, and I've never watched the cutscenes before. So
did you watch them?
I've watched some of them, but not all of them all the way through. I've played it. Yeah, I've played it, but I have a very.
That was the first Metal Gear game I played that on PS3.
Yeah,
I really
got
enjoyed
a very
it.
Easy. I find it very easy to press the red button and get.
All right,
no,
I watched them all. Yeah.
In fairness, that was how I actually was able to play The Order 1886 before Mark was.
Yeah.
The day it came out, I watched a live stream of the entire game, and I was like, yep, I'm done. Good.
10 minutes later, you went and did something else. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did try to warn Mark. I said, Mark, it's short.
Yeah.
Just be forewarned.
Looking back on it, I should have waited and bought it cheaper. And thanks to Robin and his Yolg, we do that a lot now. Like Horizon Zero Dawn, I really want to play that, but I'm not buying it straight away. So we've just picked up Mafia 3, haven't we, Greg? There's a new sale on. I think it's UK only. It says UK sale on European sale on the dashboard of the Xbox. And Mafia 3 was less than £30. It was £24 something. And we always said, didn't we, if it went below £30, we're going to get it. So £13 each, and we've got Mafia 3. Amazing. Yeah.
And that was actually one of the greatest feelings ever, because I was sitting in a meeting, and I'm literally just sitting there. It was actually a presentation, so I didn't have to really pay attention. So I'm sitting there, and I get this text over WhatsApp, Mafia 3, £13 each. He's like, do you want to go in on it? I'm like, yes.
Bye.
Buying games while I'm in meetings is a very satisfying feeling.
But that was like £60 brand new. So look out, I've saved all that money. And it's all thanks to Robin.
Well, speaking of Robin, we have this little thing called the Year of Living Gamedrously, which means we have to cue up the audio. And Fraser, you need to cue up your pipes. Because I'm going to make you you walk through this once we're done with the audio.
I've actually made a video, Greg.
Oh, have you now?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I made a video for
it. I'll have to watch this.
For the live views as well, yeah. So here we go.
All right.
What is the Year of Living Gamedrously? Well, there are 6 simple steps. Number 1. This is a personal gaming challenge over 12 months to help you finish the games that you've bought instead of playing them for 2 hours and going out and buying something new. 2. Select 30 games, your dirty 30, that you really want to finish. 3. Email your dirty 30 list to bongo@ocpod.com so it can be logged and we can monitor your progress. 4. Set a budget. A budget so you can buy new games. Yes, you can buy games. Mine is £100 or $120. 5. Complete the game to the credits and take a selfie with the credits in the background and tweet that to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved and the hashtag YOLG. And finally, 6. Enjoy your Dirty 30 and tell us all about it by Facebook, Twitter, or email. And that, my friends, is the year of living gamedrously.
Very good. Well done, Robin. His juggernaut continues to roll on, leaving nothing in its path. So this week we have some people who have finished some games. Here we go. Host of the show, Nicole, finished Gears of War Judgment. I think she said that was her favorite Gears of War of all time.
Absolutely.
I can't believe she took so long to get to it.
You are now dead to her.
Probably. Filthy finished Battlefield Hardline. PG Tips finished Life is Strange. SLH finished Skyrim. I have children in the room. I can't believe it was written there.
Yep. That's Robin. He always does stuff when he's not here, though.
SLH finished Skyrim. Pilch finished Rise of the Tomb Raider. Bongo finally finished Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Greg, did you wipe that off your list? Are you?
No, man. That's remember when we were talking about games where it's like you're getting into it and then suddenly you're just like, I'm done with this game.
Yeah.
I'm getting that feeling from this, and I'm only like into chapter 15, I think. And right. I'm like, it's just because I know somebody told me there's like 50 chapters, and I'm like, really? 50?
Yeah. I think if you've spent a lot of time on that game doing side quests, which the game does a very, very good job of just letting you wander off to the side and do something else, you can use up the hours that you might have for that game very quickly. So it's understandable. Caliburn M finished Shenmue and Gears of War 4. Dastardly Jabby, friend of the show Chris, finished Batman Arkham VR. Does that count?
That is not a game. That is an experience. Shameful.
Yeah, I don't know.
Shameful.
Dodgy. Pilch finished Titanfall 2. Real Kahuna finished The Banner Saga. Cyball 27 finished Child of Light and also Killzone Vita. Infected Psych finished Ni No Kuni. And Mr. Miyagi, oh, sorry, from Real Kahuna down, these were non-Yog games. Mr. Miyagi finished Tomb Raider Legend.
All right. Awesome. If you're listening to this, you do have a few more days to get in your victories achieved, because at the end of the quarter, which is March 31st, we will go through all of the victories achieved, whether they're Yog or not, and we will pick a random person. And they will win $20 in Space Bucks on Xbox Live, £15 in the UK. I believe that exchange rate still holds up.
It's probably about get it for PSN.
Yeah, PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam. Take your pick, and let us know what you want if you should be the lucky person to win. All right,
you all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. Victory's achieved.
You can't forget that, Greg.
No, never, never.
Savage.
Was it live or Memorex? Boy, that dates. Do you remember those commercials?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Does Mark remember the? You know what? I'm always singing. You guys won't know this. You probably won't know this. Do you remember the? Dancing Skeleton. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to play.
TDK.
Was it TDK? Scotch. It was Scotch's lifetime guarantee. TDK. Record, not fade away.
Yeah, re-record, not fade away. Yeah, VHS. Yeah. Scotch video tips. Totally there we go.
Totally lost. Yeah, we'll send you the clip.
I look forward to it. Speaking of clips, Mark's
going to find it.
Find that clip. Because I don't want to talk through. We have a lot of stuff to talk about now.
Yeah, I know, but, there's loads of adverts. 80s. I'm not as good as Duke.
Well, you see, you were Johnny on the spot through halfway through the podcast, and then you got sidetracked.
Yeah. It's not even in this.
That's right.
I've gone through a
few. So anyway, all right, I will just cover this until you find it. How's that?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, closing notes. Things to think about. If you're listening to this podcast, you may be thinking, God, why did they start recording early? Well, that's a time zone thing. But normally, we report and record every Saturday at 3 p.m. West Coast time, 3 p.m. West Coast time again, because that's the same time zone. 6 p.m. East Coast, 11 p.m. UK. I'm feeling a little tired at this point in time. You can email the show if you ever want, podcast@ocpod.com. You can tweet us @OC_podcast. You can join our Facebook groups because that's a thing we love. We like Facebook. I don't think the youngins like Facebook as much anymore. But Facebook, fb.ocpod.com. That's where our Facebook group is. We have lots of conversations going on. We should probably start referencing those conversations a little more often. Kim, I hold you in charge of this moving forward. You're welcome. Okay. Well, she's one of the most active ones in our Facebook group, so I just got to say, this falls on her shoulders.
I'm the quickest to respond to anything on social media.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that?
She's the quickest person I've ever known to respond to anything on social media. She's the social media guru.
She is.
I have
she
no
is.
Life. That's all it is. I have no life.
I'm a Twitter person myself, personally. That's kind of my jam. But hey, Facebook, there you go. iTunes, Stitcher, if you are on any of these platforms and pulling our podcast, we would love a review. If you find us on YouTube, because our podcast does show up on YouTube, give us a review. If you are sitting on your console of choice, either a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, or maybe even you're sitting in on Steam, note that we do have clubs on all of these platforms, so you can find a friendly person to play games with, or maybe we'll be hostile towards you. I don't know, but you can find somebody to play with. We do have this thing called Discord. Yeah, that is a thing. Most of us ignore it except for Mark. Discord.ocpod.com. Just kidding.
Richard Trust has just joined us on there recently.
Yeah. Join us on there if you like. And that pretty much wraps up all the announcements we have to make. So we're just going to talk about some
last
little goodbyes.
I've got the video, what? Greg. I've got the video.
You're too late.
No, come on.
It's done.
We're going.
No, we're going.
I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. With Scotch's lifetime guarantee. Tape what you want both night and day. Then re-record, not fade away. Re-record, not fade away. Re-record, not fade away.
Every recording is good as the first. We'll give you a new tape. You can watch Scotch forever.
Re-record, not fade away.
That's
going to
be stuck in my head now.
Yeah, and I cocked that up. The Twitch feed didn't see the actual video because...
Oh, so nobody saw the actual video.
Darn.
Which was stupid of me. I didn't press the go live button.
Damn you, Mark.
What a twat.
It doesn't matter.
No, but what I'll do is I will play it again.
What happens when you're live?
I'll play it again for them. But with no sound.
No, there's no sound.
Well, they can watch it while we do our shout-outs.
All right, fine. We'll get the gist while we're doing our shout-outs.
Yeah. Do the Kiora advert next.
Oh, yeah. Big basketball one. Yeah.
All right. We're shouting out, Mark. We're shouting out. This is how we end this podcast properly. Fraser Morris, start us off, please.
With what?
I'm not prepared.
A shout-out.
I'll tell you who I'll shout out. I'll shout out Ken and Michelle, who are two people that I curl with, and they were interested to find out that I do a gaming podcast.
Ken and Michelle.
And Michelle, I don't know whether Ken was interested, but his wife Michelle was very interested in listening to Game Punchers and the Overseas Connection. And it was good. Yeah, she's telling me she's taking her daughter to coding classes where they do a mums and kids coding classes and stuff like that. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, that's very nice. And if she's still listening, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right, and, agreed.
Don't hold it against me.
I apologize.
Hold it against Fraser. Don't hold it against the rest of us. And hey, Michelle.
Tall Greg. He's the Greg the Old Smoothie.
Yeah, that's me. That was it anymore, Fraser?
No.
Okay.
I do.
He's done. Whatever. Kim, go next.
Yeah, you know, the usual. You guys, as always. It's always fun when I come on here. I can be on in the shittiest of moods and come on here and you guys cheer me up. So, you know, thanks for that. And our shatters, we've had Teflon, Defoe, let's see, Baron von Glauer, ChatDB, Dinkster UK, RCGC's been in here, Phaser 84, and Martin, of course. So, you know.
Of course, Martin. Of course, Martin.
Of course.
Who would not die? I would have never thought Martin.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for coming along on the ride. So, yeah. That's it for me. Hopefully the weather holds out. So, Mother Nature, if you're listening, please give us more 60-degree weather and no more snow. Please.
Yes.
Anyway, that's enough for me. How about you, Mark?
I want to shout out Kiara because that was a fantastic advert back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Grand Monster.
I know, right?
Just for me and my dog.
I'll be your dog.
I'll be your dog.
I'll be your dog.
It's like a heckle and jekyll cartoon.
I would have hung up on Mark, but I can't.
Yeah, right.
Right, that's it. Sorry. Yeah, I want to shout.
Go.
Oh, you're gonna get me in trouble, Fraser. Oh, some great adverts in the '80s, weren't there? I want to shout out Premier Inn for a nice experience we had at the weekend. Shout out to my family on my dad's side, who we haven't seen for ages, and it was nice catching up with them. A shout out to you guys and to Uncle Greggles for coming back to hosting duties after the other two absolute professionals did a stealing job.
You're walking a fine line.
And over to you, Tyrant.
Hey, I want to shout out Google. Sure, Google, you've fallen on some tough times with some advertising issues, with advertisers not being happy about some of their content being displayed on pages that are less than desirable, but you guys put on a fantastic event. So I had a lovely time out in New York, seeing the Google offices and being able to look out from the 14th floor onto the New York Harbor. It was a breathtaking sight. So cheers to you guys. Cheers to my wife because, she brought me a strawberry margarita. And I
takes.
Did not deserve it. Yeah, I'm just saying. shout out to you, Fraser, and to Robin. You guys have been doing a great job in your new hosting role. Shout out to Mark.
Pleasure. Someone's going to have to cover for me in a couple of weeks. I'm not going to be around, unfortunately.
Yes.
I'm going. Hey, guess where I'm going next week?
I don't know.
Fuck yeah! Is that, am I right?
I'm going to America again. And
we're really going
to America. I can't say it. My daughter's right next to me here, but we're really going for that. We're going to Dayton, Ohio, to the aircraft museum.
Nice. That should be a fun trip.
Yeah, my dad's coming to visit, so I really want to do that. He's well up for it. So,
all right.
And now,
are you driving down? Flying?
Yeah, we're going to drive. Take about 7-8 hours, and then we'll just stay a couple of nights down there. Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait. I really wanted to go because apparently they have a B-2 bomber there, a stealth bomber.
Wow.
So I want to see that. But what I'm hearing is they have a new display of all presidential Air Force One planes. It's supposed to be amazing.
Oh, that would be very cool.
So it's a bit of a trek just to go see some planes, but dad and son, totally nerdy, up for it. It's going to be good.
Nothing nerdy about that. That is
an awesome
trip.
Get to taste some freedom, yeah!
Oh yeah!
I watched
Don't
that
forget
so
freedom
smell that dirty socialism off me as across the border.
Yeah. Just don't get sick.
Progressive socialism. Leave that behind.
Yep.
Go back in time.
To the good old days.
Back in time. Good old boys.
Get sick and not get covered. Die in the streets. all right. I guess that really is pretty much it. So at this point in time, if you're still listening to the show, thank you so much. Catch us next week. Don't forget, we are on Saturdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And I think we'll technically be on at 10 p.m. next week.
11.
Or is it daylight savings?
11.
11.
Yeah. All the people in the UK, clocks change in 50 minutes' time. So when it's 1 a.m., it will be 2 a.m. Lose an hour's sleep.
Gotcha.
Yep. All so right. You have a chance tonight.
Well, back
but
to
if you're listening to this on your podcast, it's too late. On your device of choice. If you're watching it live, then you're all right. The advantage of watching live, you see.
Is it live or Memorex?
Mm-hmm. All right,
we're done. That's
it. Fade away.
Yeah. Please start the music now.
Right, here we go. Outro music coming up.
Way down deep in the middle of the Congo, a hippo took a nip, caught a guava and a mango. He stuck it with the others and he danced a pretty tango. The rhino said, I know, we'll call it Umbango.
Sorry, wrong one.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Stay tuned for some fun outtakes and bloopers. See you same time next week.
All right. What is this? That is Skype. Well, that's the Skype window. Interesting.
I can hear a little man enjoying himself in the background.
Oh, God, he's going nuts. All day long.
How's he doing?
All right, so Kim and Fraser?
Yeah.
Of course, Fraser will be, late, you know, hours late, apparently, every time.
He won't late when it was his turn to host.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a right profile picture.
Yeah. Disturbing beyond belief.
It's changed now as Skype, hasn't it? If I don't answer, like before it used to keep trying, but now it just goes beep, beep, and stops.
Well, I kicked him out.
All right.
Okay. Oh.
I figured it would help you set up.
Yeah. I don't really, but I need everyone on at the same time to get the video feed.
I know. I realize that as I said that, I'm like, yeah, it probably doesn't help you at all.
No, not at all.
Oh,
when did we ever get serious?
Shit, I bet the camera's up on her.
Bingo, hello, that's why we're here, Mark. Just saying.
It's already off the wheels and it hasn't even started yet.
I know.
Right, hang on, I can't remember how to do this.
Uh-oh.
Hurry up.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello there, darling. You are too cute. Are you sure you're from your father? Good answer.
I'm a postman. Oh, now we're talking. Look at that. Replaced by a bit of pie. Look at that.
Beep. Oh, there you go.
Right. Nearly there. Just Kim left to do. And then we're all done.
You're late.
Oh, not by much. It's only just gone 10 at all. No, actually an hour early. Because some tyrant in America...
Damn you! Well, you know, you're late on the US, where, let's face it, that's really all that counts.
Right, done. All right, sound is live now as well.
Sound is live, so yeah. People are hearing us?
Yes, because you have a tyrant and you've made the UK come an hour earlier, all because of... America, fuck yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah. That's what you put in your text, wasn't it? America. Are we ready?
Oh.
You know, when Fraser and Robin's in charge, we're always on time. much.
Bullshit. This is what I have to work with. Whenever you're ready, Mark. I mean, you know.
Right. Here comes the music.
I mean, technically, we're broadcasting maybe right not. Now, so it's not like we're really late. So are we just going to wait to start the show when, like, one random person, like, logs in?
I'm waiting for you. You ready now? If you
random, like, oh, we can start now. Somebody's in there.
There's somebody in there. We can start. Yay.
You're the boss. You say go for it.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.